देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मीतयो श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम्। So we are discussing the 35 qualities which every spiritual aspirant must develop, not only a bhakta, any spiritual aspirant, whether he is a jnani or karmi or yogi or whatever. Yesterday we discussed advesta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukha kshami. Continuation. Santushta satatam yogi yatatma dridha nischaya mayyarpita mano buddhi yo mat bhakta same priya. At the end of certain descriptions he says sa me priya or mat bhakta, certified. God is certifying only a person with these qualities. So yesterday, sama dukkha sukha kshami, santushtaha. Santushtaha means always
content.
What does that mean? Whatever be the circumstances, it doesn't create a negative reaction in his mind. So if there is no negative reaction, will there be a prayer for mitigation of that circumstance?
No.
It will not be there. Whatever, like a baby, you know, you see that a baby has no complaint. Whatever the mother feeds, however much it can take, it will take. After that, it will refuse. So, but no complaint. Very interesting, you know. I have seen people, hilly people, horrible type of fish, very smelly, they just boil.
Hilly people? In the hills.
Okay. In Meghalaya and Nagaland and other places.
Dry fish.
We cannot tolerate that smell. But you know, little they will take and put in the mouth of the babies. Like that, it is eating. No complaint. And you know, even on TV you can see, there is one fellow, I forget his name, some Paul or something. He goes to the most inaccessible places and lives with them and photographs. It's beautiful. How this one fellow, they are all searching for protein. So some rotten trees, they lift the bark. And you know that white worms like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ant. Ant kind of thing.
No, this big
worms.
Worms. That is most delicious thing, like your rasagollas. He just takes it. Most of the time they eat like that. Sometimes they just roast it like that, a little bit. And a little bit he will take to his children and put it. Oh, Brahmanandam Paramasukhadam.
Chinese doll kind of insect.
So, no, what is my point? The children have no complaint. Whatever the mothers give to them, very happily they take. And they get accustomed. We are also like that. Santushtaha, always very content. Excepting in one respect, they are never satisfied. Why we are not going towards God? Why we cannot love God more? That is where we are ever discontent. We want more, we want more, we want more. Santushta satatam. So the idea is we are satisfied many times, but temporarily. When you are hungry, you eat food. Are you not satisfied? When you are thirsty, you drink water. You are satisfied. When you are tired, you sleep. You are satisfied. But very soon, dissatisfaction comes. So we are victims to this. Satatam yogi. But at the same time, yatatma. Constantly striving. The question came now, will this striving come to an end? So, yes, it will come. When a person reaches God, it will come to an end. Because here, this is a wonderful quality. If somebody is satisfied, he doesn't feel like striving. Why should he strive? I'm quite happy. But satisfied with regard to everything, excepting two things. He is not satisfied, but I have enough bhakti, I have enough spirituality. Therefore, he will not rest content. He will strive. Yatatma. This word yatatma comes many times in Bhagavad Gita. Many times it is repeated. So there is a very interesting feature. This Bhagavad Gita is available in Roman script, plain Roman script. Phonetically, you know, just like that. Yatatma, Y-A-T-A-T-M-A. So then you want to know how many times a word has come in the Bhagavad Gita. What is the way for you to understand?
Search.
Find and replace.
Find and replace. Oh,
you just put yatatma and then you put replace yatatma. At the end it will tell 120 times replaced. Like, yeah, very interesting. This yatatma dridha nischayaha. What is dridha nischayaha? Every time we have to make ourselves dridha nischaya. Our mind says, enough. But we have to keep, no, that's not sufficient. Thakur said, Guru said, this said, that said, you have to wait for it. But these people, they are endowed with. That is what Sri Ramakrishna said. Nishkarna bhakata sarana nirbhaya gata samsaya dridha nischaya manasavan. Dridha nischaya. But they have fixed, this is my goal. And until they reach the goal, they won't give it up. Yatatma dridha nischayaha. But about what? Mai arpita mano buddhihi. So the same thing is being repeated, you know, that he whose mind is in me and he whose fixed is buddhi in me, ata eva, he lives only in me. Eva sishyasi mai eva. Nasam shayaha. So, mai arpita manobuddhi. This is a most wonderful combination. So, the mind follows buddhi. And buddhi also is reinforced by mind. But in the beginning, our buddhi is not fixed. Why? Because it doesn't understand. Therefore, the mind also becomes restless. So this is the secret why mind is restless. The mind is not restless. You can't blame the mind because the understanding is not right. The understanding is always going here and there. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita also, so he says, Vyavasaya atmika buddhi rekeha kurunandana bahushakahi anantascha buddhayo avyavasayinam. Second chapter, after telling about the nature of the Atman, Krishna is telling to Arjuna that now, esha te behita sankhi buddhir yogetu imam surunu. So I have spoken about Jnana Yoga. Now I am telling you buddhi yoga. So what is buddhi yoga? Karma yoga. Is buddhi yoga means? Sankhya Yoga means Jnana Yoga. Peculiar, don't mistake Sankhya Yoga with Sankhya Yoga. There Sankhya means Jnana. I have vividly described you the characteristics of the Atman. Whereas now, that is the goal. Now I am going to tell you how to slowly progress towards that goal. In that connection, the Lord wants to condemn the Karmakanda of Vedas. So he says, Vyavasayatmika buddhi eka. those who have cultivated their mind, mono monre krishika janana manav janma roilo pati abad korle kholto sona. There is one of the songs of Ram Prasad, a great mystic poet. There are mystics. Who is a mystic? It's a pure Bengali word. Mystic. Very sweet. Mystic is a very mystic, because he is always immersed in the love of God. And Jnana Yoga doesn't accept mystic. They condemn mysticism. Yeah. Mystic means something, you know, very mystery, mysterious, mystery, covered some in something. We can't clearly see it. But a mystic is one who is totally merged in the sweetness of God. Sri Ramakrishna is a mystic. Yeah. That's why he once asked Swamiji, Narendana, supposing you are a fly, and you are sitting on the edge of a plate filled with nectar. How will you drink it? He says, I will sit at the edge, and then I will stretch my tongue, and then I will sip. Then why do you want to do that? Because if I fall into it, then I will drown and die. Immediately, Sri Ramakrishna comes down. My child, it is not ordinary ocean. The ocean of immortality. If you drown there, you become immortal. So that is the mysticism. Mysticism is always a term preferred by devotees, not Jnana Yogis. Jnana Yogis, you know, all fire, dry, very dry. Their intellect is dry, their throat is dry, and their stomach is also dry, because they can't digest. That's why they can't accept others can enjoy Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya.
Maharaj, in Dallas you said Sri Ramakrishna is a mystic, he is a misty look.
That's what I am saying now. At least you remembered something. I'm happy. So, the buddhi means understanding. That is why we have to pray, Lord, give me a right understanding. Dhiyo yonaha prachodayat. That is the idea there. If buddhi understands, everything is ephemeral, but God alone is the permanent reality. Once we really understand, you don't need to tell to the mind, now that you understood, now you think about that. There is no need. Whatever we understand, to be happy something, our naturally, automatically, like water flows downward. You don't need to tell, oh, you are going down. Yes, I am going down. No, I have never seen that place. I want to experience that. It is a natural tendency. So man's or any living creature's natural tendency is, first tendency is to live. Second tendency is to be happy. So it is said, nature always wants only, struggles for two things. It is survival and multiplication. Multiplication of the species. Because this is what is called biological immortality. I live in my genes. And this idea, Richard Dawkins had explored very beautifully in a book called The Selfish Gene. I don't know whether anyone of you have heard about it. You don't need to read. The entire essence of that book is, you know, the sex happiness any creature gets, every creature gets, is the fellow thinks there is so much of joy there. But he doesn't understand. The gene is bribing him. Okay, you propagate. He says, what do I get out of it? Okay, you will get pleasure. Okay, then it's all right. Otherwise, you see, he will refuse to. So much trouble, you know. Some creatures die. You know, there is, what is that? Crab or something. There are some, the female is
spider.
Black widow.
The white is very kuchka fellow. And gingerly it goes, because the female is always ready
to finish him.
To eat. Yeah, and that also is gene. Because the eggs that are growing, young ones, for them, this father will be food. Anyway, you fathered them, it's your duty to feed them. So, this is the gene, so nature is, it wants to propagate. And so it wants to give birth. So another example is a beautiful flower. And the bee is attracted towards it. But if the flower says to you, know, you come and propagate, take this, my pollen and do it, he says, boye geche. Why should I do it? Then it gives a little bit of
nectar.
The moment it, you know, what is the proboscis or
something? Proboscis.
And it too. So many creatures have got this honey bird. You know, it floats in the
hummingbird
floats in the air. It has got a big tongue. It goes deep inside, and other birds cannot do it. But there also, these hummingbirds, the competition is there. One fellow will come and push the other fellow inside and do it. You can see even in your veranda how they do it. Anyway, what is the point? Once the buddhi understands, this is where I live, and this is my goal, to be happy, only two. So why is there two? That is the nature. This is the only explanation. So as a result, you know what happens? This mind always thinks about it. Two things. Once the buddhi fixes, it thinks two things. The first thing it thinks is that how to enjoy it. The second thing is how to get that enjoyment. One is desiring and enjoying. The mind thinks, like, you know, we wanted to come here. We fixed our, then you fixed your GPS also. The GPS is doing our work. Otherwise your mind will, which exit, and then what to do, where to turn, all those things. But in our case, it is double GPS. One was the phone, another was Saravana.
Yes, Maharaj, it's a great sense of direction.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Very good. So, mai arpita manobuddhihi, such a person, mad bhaktaha, he becomes my devotee. I certify him as a devotee. Same priyaha, such a devotee is dear to me. Interesting thing. Is there any devotee who is not dear to God?
No.
Every devotee is dear to God. So, but there are people who claim they are devotees, but God doesn't certify them. Yeah, I have this experience, you know. In UK, devotees come from Kolkata. And then they say, Maharaj, we are devotees from Belur Math. Our name is registered. We know Ramakrishna very well. Then I ask them, maybe you know Ramakrishna very well, but does Ramakrishna know you? This is important. Anybody may give you certificate. You are a good person, you are a devotee, you are a wonderful person, what a nice person. They only go to raise our BP.
Yeah.
But if God gives a certificate,
that is the
only thing. So what? How do we know that whose certificate it is? If we are devoted, anybody who is devoted, however much difficulties he may go through, but he will never give up God. That is the true nature of a devotee. He will never give up. His only fear is, you put me anywhere and you make me pass through any circumstance, happy, unhappy. Only one thing I would not like to lose. I don't want to lose my devotion to you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Pinastuva, there is one Sikshastaka. that Lampata. Calling Sri Krishna as Lampata. What a title he gives. Yes. Lampata means a loose fellow. Not useless. Loose fellow. Sri Krishna is never useless. Yeah, yeah. He is alive. Even he may make chutney of me. I don't mind. But let him not make me forget him. This is called true devotion. But here there is something very interesting. These people have passed the hallmark of selfishness. Long before selfishness is gone. And how do we know? What we do, we will be devoted to God provided He gives us happiness. Minus happiness, let Him go to the other place. Yeah. Because we have not really enjoyed devotion. So what do we mean by happiness? Happiness means, you know, happiness in taking His name, happiness in other things. Discomfort should not be there. And He should protect us all the time. That is why God is not very happy with so many devotees. Ami mukti dite kator ni, bhakti dite kator hoy. What is your language? Which language do you speak?
Gujarati.
Gujarati. So, Sri Ramakrishna's teachings, I am frightened to give devotion. But I am very happily, I am ready to give liberation. You know why? Because once you give liberation, he need not bother about the devotee. But if he gives devotion, 24 hours he has to go. I don't know, you have children? Okay, you will know when child is there. Small, you know, 2 years child. He goes to the toilet. Mummy has to run behind and wash and all those things. God has to run 24 hours after the devotee. Because sometimes in what condition he will be there, we just don't know. So he also understands, intelligent, you know, yeah, that this is very troublesome. So, okay, give him liberation. One devotee came and asked me, somewhere, I think, in UK or Bangalore, I don't remember. He's a very emotional person. Maharaj, will I get liberation? I said, guaranteed. Ramakrishna will give you liberation, guaranteed. They said, you are so sure. I am not so sure. You are very sure. How? And I told, because you see, he is tired of you. So, just to get rid of you, he will make sure he will give you liberation. It is, you see, to be a good devotee means to be totally dependent. See the life of Prahlada. See, his father was trying to throw him out. From beginning to the end, it is a difficult life. His father, his colleagues, his guru, everyone after them. But Prahlada always, he says, Narayana. Now who is going to save him?
Narayana.
Only Narayana. So that ananya bhakti. Anya bhakti means what? Anya bhakti means
finite.
Two meaning. Anya means other bhakti.
Other.
Means two types. One bhakti means, I have devotion to God, I also have devotion to something else. I want this, I want that. So the other meaning is, anya bhakti means that my priorities are also two. Or in that which is priority? Is God priority or anything priority? And so what is the devotion to other thing? Somehow we feel that if God doesn't give, I have other means. I depend upon other things. I depend upon God. I depend upon God. There was a householder, he had a daughter to be married. So, the father came to know that there is some a young boy, and he went to interview him. The wife was waiting at home. So he returned after interview. The wife was very eager. What happened? How did you find? He says, I have bad news and good news. I'll say, first tell the bad news. So the father asked that boy, what about your further education? He said, no further education. I have faith in God. I depend on God. So if you marry, then how are you going to maintain family? I depend upon God. And what about building a house, etc.? I depend upon. For everything, he says, I depend upon God. The wife said, what is the good news? He said, he thinks I am God. I depend upon God. So you see, at this stage of our devotion, we are not really totally dependent upon God. Very, very rarely we get people totally dependent upon God. People like Narada, Prahlada, Pundarika, Narada Parashara Pundarika Bhishma Dalbhyan, Pratasmaraniyas, early morning we have to remember, like that. So, only a person who is totally dependent upon God, that person is my bhakta, and such a bhakta is dear to me. All bhaktas, all devotees are dear to God. There is no doubt about it. Let us chant 18. Sama kshatra ucha mitre cha tatha mana apamana yoho sitoshna sukha dukkhesho sama sanga vivarshna.
15.
Okay. Yasmano dvijate loko lokano dvijate chayaha harsha marsha bhayo dvegaihi mukto yah sacha me priyaha. So such a person is most dear to me. Who is? Yasmat lokaha na dvijate. Dvijate means becomes frightened, agitated, becomes unhappy. Seeing a devotee, or if a person is a devotee, nobody should fear that person. In fact, one of the vratas of sannyasi is this. Let no one fear me, and let me not fear anybody. So the idea is, this person, first of all, from his mind, the idea that I might even plan to do some harm doesn't arise. Long before, this thing has disappeared. I don't know, I told you about an incident from the life of Rabia. One day, Rabia was moving in a forest. Did I tell you?
Yes, Maharaj, I remember.
Then, which one, birds?
Birds.
Huh. So Rabia, you know, she was a great Sufi saint. She was moving in the forest. Then behind him, some other saint also was moving. Muslim saint. He was also a Sufi saint. Now there were so many birds, and they were all competing with each other. Who will get place on her shoulders? They were competing. You know, like small children. Who will be nearest to mother or aunt like that? Sharat Chandra's one, so the Bodo Didi or... Remember? All the children will be at night competing. One fellow will complaining loudly. This fellow slept with nearer to you yesterday, so I will not allow him to sleep. Wonderful story, you know. Oh. Sharat Chandra Chakravarti, I don't know whether you read any of his books, Shrikant, and like that. So, these birds were competing. The other fellow was inviting the birds, come, come, I will not harm you. And he didn't have any intention to harm. But the moment he approaches any bird, it just flies away and goes near Rabia. So he got a little bit agitated. Then he called out and said, Rabia, why is this? I don't intend to do any harm to the birds, but why the birds are so frightened of me? Then Ravya, even without looking back, she gives a most beautiful reply. She says, before you turned to spiritual life, you were tasting birds' meat. Now you stopped eating birds, but that taste is still lingering on your tongue and the birds know it. Now he doesn't have the desire to kill. But you know, there's such a powerful samskara. So we think that we are so humbleless. But the birds, the animals, the babies, somehow, to some people they go very easily. To other people, they don't go so easily. So there is some instinct is there. It works like that. Some people, I have seen, you know, you feel like sitting near them, you can make friends with them very easily, and you can even confide your secrets with them. So you feel like doing it. Some women also, depends upon their attitude. Some people, the moment you see, you don't feel like opening your mouth. So, asmān no dvijate loko, lokān na udvijate. So, the world also is not frightened of the person. The person also is not frightened of the world. So, that also indicates how many types of phobias we suffer from. If I ask somebody, you sing, they say, I have not practiced. This is a phobia. But there are some. Without asking also, I want to sing. Different natures. Observe different natures. The irony of this first type of person is, this is the same excuse. After 50 years also, the same excuse. I have not practiced first thing. My throat is not all right.
Oh,
all these things are there. There was an incident, you know. Swami Vivekananda, after he returned from America, Swami Shuddhananda was there. Swamiji asked people, anybody read Upanishads, etc.? Quite a number of them have read. So, okay, you can get up and then recite. No. But Swami Shuddhananda was, you know, raring like that. The moment Swamiji looked, he immediately got up before and then went on fearlessly. Swamiji appreciated it very much.
Same thing in Thakur's life too.
Who?
In Thakur's life, he asked them to sing, and this girl, she just gets up and in a very shrill voice she starts singing.
Yes, yes. In Kamarpukur. Yeah.
Thakur was very happy.
Everybody was not laughing. Others were not laughing. Happy.
No, they were making fun of her.
But Thakur had appreciated her. She was no lajja grina bhoy thakte nayre noy. You understand Bengali? Okay, that's why you're smiling, you know. Yeah. Lajja bhai grina thakte nayre nayre noy. So, Sri Ramakrishna chides him. Oh, why he will not open his mouth here?
Yeah.
But he will open 32 teeth when he goes to the school.
Yeah.
Like that he chides. You know, where it is necessary, certain things, we should not have any hesitation.
Yes.
But at the same time, it should not be an embarrassing situation to other people also. That also people don't know. So I have to be very careful in my ashrama there. Special celebrations time, you know. So somebody is singing. I want some others also to have the opportunity. So there are quite a number of people who could sing. So I'm looking, who is there? There is one person whom I don't want to hear. Immediately, I will sing. Now, in front of others, you cannot say,
no.
Don't. You know, a very nice person. But singing is not so nice. Nice person doesn't mean everything is nice. There are some nice persons, their singing is not good. There are some nice persons, their cooking is not good. How many varieties of tapasya God provides the opportunity. All right. So this is a wonderful thing that Esma no dvijate loko, loka na udvijate. That is the word. Udvija means agitation. Harsha, amarsha, bhaya, udvega. Harsha. Harsha means you know.
Ananda.
Ananda, joy. So, one should not be excessive mirth. Ramanuja has 7 disciplines for bhakta. Anuddharsha means, not anuddharsha. Anuddharsha means depression. So, one should not have excess. There is a word I forget.
Anavasada.
Oh, anuddharsha. Yeah, that's correct. Anuddharsha, one must acquire. Uddharsha means excessive mirth. So one should develop anuddharsha. So what happens, if you are very happy, your mind is already deviated from God. Yesterday I gave you some that beautiful example. A person is playing lottery. And 6 o'clock every day, the devotee fixed the time for meditation. And 5:59, he gets the news. You won a lottery ticket, $5.
See?
He can't meditate. You see, that is our, because we don't expect. So, when we hear to getting something, when we don't expect, it gives tremendous amount of joy. But later, subsequently, you look back and say, $5 is nothing. I spend even for one cup of coffee, $5 I spend. But when you are not expecting something, it is a great joy. In fact, getting anything without expecting, on the way, you know, suddenly, one penny or something like that. There are people who are very, very excited. Pennies. When I was coming in the plane on Sunday, one lady was sitting behind me.
Okay.
So she showed up one coin. Is this your coin? Slipped. Of course, I didn't have that coin. So the question of slipping doesn't arise. And I will not allow any coin to slip also. Yeah, I don't want to waste any Thakur's money.
Yeah. Yes.
So, I said no. She must have been very happy. She got $1 coin or something like that. So, that's absolutely fine. Harsha means what? This too much of excessive mirth. Amarsha means opposite of it. Amarsha, hatred, dislike, etc. That also, you see the object which you don't like, that also creates agitation in the mind. That which draws the mind to any object other than God is an inimical to God. That is what is said. Here he has given envy. Amarsha. So, hatred or jealousy, negative quality. Bhaya, what happens? Supposing you see a snake, you want to think about God. You see anything that creates fear, then your mind is deviated. You are gone from there. Then, udvega. What is udvega?
Anxiety.
Agitation again. Udvega means agitation. Anxiety also creates. Worry also creates. All these things, what happens? They take away our concentration, our focus. And they will not allow us to think about God. It's very interesting fact is, supposing you are worrying. Something happens which you don't want to. What should you do really?
Rely on God.
you have to think about God, because He might save you from that situation. But usually what happens, our mind is focused on the object which is causing worry, rather than trying to think of the remedy. Anticipation of either I have, this is one of the most horrible things that happen. Suppose some doctor says to somebody, let us have a biopsy. The moment biopsy is done, the doctor doesn't know. It may be something, it may be nothing, it may be mild, it may be serious, anything it could be. But this person, his imagination is already, what is serious? The doctor says 3 months only left out. The imagination runs riot. Yeah. Then what happens? Why, if such a thing happens, pray to God. Because if anybody can save us, it is only God. But that doesn't go like that. He is thinking, what type of cancer it is, how serious it is, how many days am I left out, and then what shall I do about insurance, what is going to happen to my family. All sorts of things come. And so, what is the advice? My bhakta, what does mukta? He is free from harsha, amarsha, bhaya and udvega. Are we free? We are not free. So what should be our goal? Try to reduce them. Don't say, I will be 100% free. We are all 100% free only at one time.
Deep sleep.
So long as we are in deep sleep. That is why it is compared to poor man's samadhi. Yeah, you know, there is no need for you to do anything. If you do anything, you can't have deep sleep. This is the pure Naishkarmya Siddhi.
Yes.
Try hard to sleep, it would be counterproductive. Mm. So if you can relax, then it will be. But the nature of our conditioned mind is, the moment you get a hint that you are not going to get sleep, you will be desperately trying to get sleep. Yeah.
That is true.
So what is the remedy? There are three remedies are there.
Japa.
Three remedies. First, try meditation.
Easy. But read a very difficult book.
Second, take a very hard philosophy book and try to understand. If both of them fail, the third is, listen to my talk. Listen to my talk. Guaranteed. So these are the qualities. One who strives to acquire these qualities, such a bhakta is dear to me. Next. Anapeksha shuchir dakshah udasino gatavyathah sarvarambha parityagi yo madbhakta sami priyah. Beautiful. Yo madbhakta sami priyah. This devotee who fulfills these conditions, he is dear to me. Anapekshah.
No
expectations. So, it is your duty. Karmanyevadikaraste ma phalesha kadachana ma karma phala heturbhu ma te sango astu akarmani. That is a beautiful one people forget. Ma te sanga astu akarmani. You should not develop attachment to non-karma. You have to do karma. Otherwise, we take it as an excuse and said, Bhagavan himself said that it is not necessary to do anything, and then laziness. It leads to sheer laziness. Anapekshaha means two things. Don't expect anything more than what your karma can give. So I will study only for 10 minutes. I will expect first class, first rank. This is called apeksha. But even if this is for a bhakta, we can do japa, we can do meditation, we can do everything. But the result depends upon whom?
God.
Only God. He will give. Don't think that he will ever be like a dictator, he will not give. But then he is like a mother. He knows
when
is the right time to give. That dependency must be there.
There is a saying, no, Maharaj, Bhagavan ke isme der to hai, lekin andher
nahi. Aha. It is correct. So many sayings are there. He will, every karma will have its result. But there is a karma adhyaksha. Ishvara's role is managing role, not creating anything. He creates, his creation is to give according to the karma phala. That is why he says vidhata, he writes. This is a quality we all also have to develop. Shuchihi, he is internally, externally pure. Shaucha, santosha, tapaswadhyaya, ishvara pranidhaniya. But he is dakshaha. Extremely diligent. He is expert, skillful. What is skill? So this is also one definition of karma yoga. Dakshaha means extremely capable, efficient. So that is also where, what is the one of the definitions of yoga? Karmasu kaushalam. What does that kaushala mean? Kaushala means skillful in action. What does it mean?
Means he gets the action performed in the shortest possible time, but also it is flawless.
Most efficient.
Yeah, because his mind is 100% focused upon that. But there is also another meaning. He will not do anything unnecessary. This is unnecessary. We do it because our mind is restless. He doesn't do it. Simply, he focuses what needs to be done. When there is nothing, he will think of God. He will do his yogic practices. So, daksha. But what is kaushalam here means? Kaushalam means he is so skillful, he gets the result of what he expects. Here, anapekshaha. Here, apekshaha. What does that mean? So, here is a law. Every action will give a particular result. Simple example, here is a light switch. If you flick it in one way, light comes on. If you flick it the other way, light is put off. See, same switch, two different actions. So, two different results. Every day we are doing thousands of different actions. Therefore, what should be the result? Thousands of different results. But a karma yogi, when he, whatever action he may do, he will get only one result. What is it? God. God. His goal is God. That's all. Karma yogi wants that I don't want ordinary result. I want God as the result of my actions. He gets it. That is called kaushala. Don't ask for anything, don't expect anything, only expect God. Udasinaha. Udasina means what? Whatever doesn't concern him is totally indifferent. Suppose somebody comes and abuses a devotee. He will be totally udasina. Yesterday we discussed Maitri, Karuna, Mudita, Upeksha. That Upeksha. This is Udasinaha. Udasina. Totally indifferent. So, there are two ways of to be indifferent, you know. So you are passing. There's so many exciting things are going on. Our eyes are drawn wherever there is something exciting. But he is totally indifferent because he is interested only in one thing. This is it. Totally interested in only God. Anything that doesn't bring him nearer to God, he is not interested. But it also can be interpreted. There will be people. And you may not be doing anything, I may not be doing it. But they will make it their job to criticize you and to behind your back, to pull you down, do all those things. A devotee will be totally indifferent. But how can he effort to be indifferent? Because sometimes he might even lose his job, or he might be downgraded, or he may get a blame, abuse, whatever it is. He doesn't care, because he knows, I will do my best and I leave it to God. This is called part of the karma yoga. But here we are talking about which yoga?
Bhakti
yoga. Here, there, in karma yoga, the yogi depends upon his mindset to acquire this quality. Here, he depends upon
God.
That's it. Gata vyadaha. Therefore, gata vyadaha. Vyadaha means suffering. Suffering. Regret is also suffering. Usually old age, you know, people suffer from romantic pains. You understand? Romantic pains?
Rheumatic.
Khatkata aite. You sit down, khatkata aite. You get up, khatkata aite. This is one. Many people suffer, you know. And the second is, always, if I had mastered some other subject, maybe I would have got a different job. Maybe I would have lived in another country. Maybe I would have married somebody else. Maybe I would have got something else. You know, how many people are satisfied and say, whatever I have is absolutely, I am content with that. How many people are there? Very few people. Most people, they keep quiet because they are resigned to it. Gave up all hope. Yeah. One cartoon, you know, Zen cartoon. One goat is being taken to the slaughter. Sheep is taken to the slaughter, being taken. You know, sheep's eyes? Like yogi's eyes, like that. So, I am peaceful because I have given up all hopes. It is being taken to the slaughterhouse. I am peaceful because I have given up all hopes. Is that giving up hope? It is
resigned
to the fate. This is what happens to most people. That is a quality which should be totally eschewed. Should not be even bring near. If there is a regret, follow the regret. Suffer if necessary. And say, help me Lord, next life at least I don't want. But never be resigned. Because if you resign, next life also you will be resigned. Same quality will come. But an active person will not be resigned. He will do his best. And after doing his best, if something happens, he will be resigned. That is the idea. Gata vyadaha sarva arambha parityagi. So he will not start anything for its own sake. If he does anything, he will do it only if he thinks it will promote his devotion, or if it will take him to God, something which takes him towards God, something which helps him evolve. Otherwise, he will not unnecessarily take. It is a very wonderful quality. What we do, and this is what Swami Premeshananda again and again warns, even monks, they can't lead contemplative life. So they go on starting various things. If you ask them, oh, Swami Vivekananda said. Did Swami Vivekananda really say?
No.
Actually, you know, Sri Ramakrishna asked, what do you want? What was his reply?
He want to be merged in the akhanda.
His answer was peculiar. He says, I want to be merged in samadhi. Every 3-4 days I want to come down to take a little bit of food.
Sweet.
If that is the case, why did he climb the tree and say, Thakur, if you are looking after me, I want hot khichdi. So if he wanted some roti dal, that's fine. In North India, hot khichdi and sitting in a forest on a tree, you know that? So I say, Swamiji wanted to test Sri Ramakrishna, whether he is really looking after me or not. So one day, he was very hungry. You know, you must remember, he was young man, in not even 30s, in his late 20s, something like that. So he wanted to test Sri Ramakrishna. He climbed in a forest. And he said, Thakur, if you are looking after me, I want hot khichdi. Khichdi itself is a rare thing. He wants hot khichdi. Poor Ramakrishna, what can he do? He has to prove that he exists.
Yes.
So there was a nearby village, and there was one villager who was a Rama Bhakta. And very nice siesta, we call it, afternoon, after lunch we sleep, you know. So he was sleeping, poor man. Sri Ramakrishna must have told to Rama.
He was Rama only.
You know, why could he not go? Because his word will not be valuable.
No, he has to come as Rama, because he was Rama Bhakta, no?
Rama Bhakta, otherwise he won't listen.
No.
So he went and shook him, get up, one of my devotees, he is hungry, quick, prepare some hot khichdi and take him like that. The fellow thought, he never expected that he will dream of Rama. So that's why he was so happily sleeping. So he turned the other side and was trying to sleep. Again Rama shook him and said, I'm telling you, 2-3 times he had to shake like that. Then he showed that particular tree in that location in the forest. And of course the man was so happy, he prepared khichdi, he ran there, he reached the place, and then he was looking here and there. And then he saw Swamiji. Then said, please sir, please come down, I brought some food for you. Then Swamiji was still testing. No, I think I don't know you, you don't know me. You must be searching for somebody else. Then he said, no, my chosen deity appeared and he told me that it is for you, this particular tree and all those things. Then of course Swamiji happily came down. Did you do Brahmarpana, you think? Yeah. So you see, many devotees, Annamaya, Telugu Annamaya, he was going climbing the Tirumala hills. He was very hungry. So he was, this cinema, they have taken this incident. It is available on YouTube. Two are available. On the old, black and white, and the latest, in color. Both are available.
What is it called? Annamaya?
Annamaya. So this Annamaya, he was singing. After, you know, he was like a child. Mother, I am very hungry. He was in the midst of nowhere. There, Tirupati laddus, you know, were offered to God. And he was supposed to take. And Mother Lakshmi was putting. But the God could not take it. No, Lakshmi could not take it. So the Narayana was asking, Lakshmi, what happened to you? She says, I don't know. How can I take? My child is very hungry. I cannot take unless my child eats. Of course God knows everything. He says, all right, go and give to your child and come. So she puts up the appearance of a old woman and comes to Annamaya. By that time he was fainting. So he goes, she goes lovingly, she feeds him that Tirupati laddu. Anyway, how many laddus he needed at that time, I don't know. One would have been more than enough for any one of us. Have you ever eaten Tirupati laddus? You are not eaten. Then you won't understand what I am talking about. Very tasty. So, God always looks after His children, everywhere. This type of incident to Swamiji happened even another time. One day he was traveling in a train. then one Marwadi, he was looking down and say, we work very hard, that's why we enjoy these things. You sannyasins, you don't do any work. But you know, Swamiji was not testing. He said, okay, we will accept. Sometimes we get, sometimes we don't get. That's okay. So like that, so many incidents are there. So what is the meaning? Sarva Arambha Parityagi. A devotee will not lift a blade of grass unless it is for the sake of God. This is what Brother Lawrence says. I would not lift. So this is very difficult to balance. That is it an impulse from within you because you are restless? Or really does Sri Ramakrishna require you to do these things? But a devotee, he does exactly what he needs to do without any hesitation, with the greatest efficiency and with the greatest devotion and without expecting anapekshaha, suchihi, rakshaha, udasino, gatavyadaha, sarvarambha, parityagi, sabhaktaha, same, priyaha. All right. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum.